Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Those of us who were old enough in November of 1989 to be conscious of the event's significance were riveted by the news images of the Berlin Wall coming down. We all remember that, right? We rejoiced as we saw thousands of Germans from both sides of the wall pounding and hacking away at that structure with whatever tools they had in hand, sledgehammers, pickaxes, and so forth, in a spontaneous manifestation of their desire and resolve to rid their capital city of that which had divided it for almost 30 years. Part of the impetus for that occurrence had taken place 2.5 years earlier, when President Ronald Reagan stood at the western side of the wall and issued his bold and provocative challenge to the Soviet premier with the words, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." But on that day in 1989, the citizens of Berlin, East and West alike, were not waiting for the communist government to act. Eventually, the government did come in and take the wall down completely. On a larger scale, the tearing down of the Berlin Wall was symbolic of the precipitous fall of the Soviet Union and the communist system that had oppressed, enslaved, and murdered untold millions of human beings over a period of 7 decades. And by the way, young people, please take note. Please take heed. Communism always, always oppresses, enslaves, and murders people. Don't ever let anyone tell you differently. In our epistle reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, St. Paul talks about another wall of division, one in the spiritual realm, one that was torn down by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Here's how he states it in verses 13 and 14. "Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility." St. Paul is talking here about the truth of how Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, incorporated the Gentiles into his kingdom, a truth that, of course, has great relevance for you and me. Now, in order to understand the imagery St. Paul is using in this passage, it would be helpful first to understand a few basic things about the layout of the temple in Jerusalem. Because without saying so specifically, Paul is making a direct reference to the temple in this teaching. Inside the wall of the ancient temple, there was a series of courts, sometimes called precincts. Those courts or precincts were made up of several concentric rectangles. These were individual but well-defined large rooms which, taken together, made up the temple proper. The innermost court was the Holy of Holies, which held the Ark of the Covenant, and which only the high priest was permitted to enter, and to do so only once a year. Then beyond that, moving from innermost to outermost, there came the court of the priests, then the court of the Israelites, then the court of the women. All of these courts collectively were referred to as the sacred precincts. And then finally, outside the sacred precincts, came the court of the Gentiles, standing farthest away from the holy place. This was as close as Gentiles were allowed to get to the Holy of Holies. Even Gentile proselytes who were studying Judaism but were not yet circumcised. In fact, on the wall that separated the court of the Gentiles from all of the others were posted signs in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin warning that any Gentile who proceeded further into the temple would be put to death. Now, in verse 13 of Ephesians 2, St. Paul makes reference to this: you who once were far off. You who once were far off. This is actually a direct reference to the Gentiles, a fact which is obvious from what precedes it in verses 11 and 12, which I'll read in a moment. In Jewish thought, those who were near were the Jews themselves, and those who were far off were the Gentiles. St. Peter, by the way, also used this reference in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, when he said, speaking to a Jewish audience in Jerusalem, quote, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." This idea ended up being true in both a literal and figurative sense in terms of the Jews and the Gentiles and their positions, their relative positions, in relation to Yahweh. The Jews, spiritually speaking, were near to God because of their covenant with him through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Gentiles, on the other hand, were far off from God because they had no such covenant with him. And so, in a very literal sense, the fact that this court of the Gentiles was built at the farthest point from the Holy of Holies, that place that represented the very presence of God, was a graphic image of the spiritual reality. And so Paul's words to the Ephesian Gentile Christians would have had great meaning as he says this in verses 11 through 13. "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ." And then immediately follows this profound statement in verse 14. "For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility." Verse 14 and what follows are actually a direct reference to a verse from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 57:19, which says, "Peace, peace, to the far and to the near, says the Lord." And so again, in Ephesians 2, we read these two verses. Verse 14, "For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility." And then this in verse 17, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to those, and peace to those who were near." So this dividing wall of hostility, which Jesus broke down, spiritually speaking, was that wall which separated the court of the Gentiles from the temple proper and represented both the separation of Jew and Gentile from each other by the Old Covenant and the separation of the Gentiles from having access to God. And by the way, remember that at Jesus' crucifixion, we read how God also tore down, both spiritually and quite literally, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, signaling all of mankind's now direct access to God through the cross and through the death of his Son. So then, what's the point of all this? The point is that St. Paul is declaring a radical, even revolutionary truth whose significance can easily be overlooked by us who have the benefit of all of the scriptures and of 2,000 years of church history and teaching. That truth is that Gentiles, and of course that includes most of us here this morning, we're all Gentiles for the most part, the Gentiles are actually brought close to God, or as verse 18 puts it, we have access in one spirit to the Father. How? By the blood of the Jewish Messiah. The peace that Israel, that Isaiah spoke of, peace with God, is no longer a distant promise, but a reality. It's no longer an abstract idea, but it's a person, a real person who lived and died for us, rose from the dead for us, and ascended back to heaven where he is preparing an eternal home for us. Notice in verse 15, St. Paul speaks of Jesus creating in himself a new man out of these two groups, Jews and Gentiles. Elsewhere, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." St. Paul declares that in establishing that peace and that unity by his broken body and his shed blood, of which we are about to be privileged to partake in the Holy Eucharist, Jesus has created a new humanity, no longer one doomed by the spiritual descendancy of Adam, but freed by the spiritual descendancy of the new Adam, Jesus himself. And every person who is included in this new humanity necessarily shares it with every other person who is a part of it. That's why you and I are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's not an option. If we identify with Jesus, we must also identify with everyone else who identifies with him. That's why, for example, racism must have absolutely no place in the church. We are, as Paul says, one body through the cross and have access to one spirit, in one spirit to the Father. Several times recently, I have spoken about the confusion, the uncertainty and the anxiety that are part and parcel of human life on planet Earth in the 21st century, and that simply seem to be accelerating and increasing exponentially. You can feel it, can't you? You can just feel it in the environment we live in, this confusion, this uncertainty and anxiety. Today, the Apostle Paul gives us one more reason for understanding why you and I, who walk with Christ, should not be overtaken by the confusion, uncertainty, and anxiety of the world. Because why? He says, "You who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And because he says he is our peace and has created in himself a new humanity, because he says he has reconciled us to God in one body through the cross, and because he says through him we have access in one spirit to the Father. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.